This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
We're going to talk about accountability for me. For you, that's always fun. We have a chance to remove a rhino. Sarah Gonzalez is here. Is California going to turn red? All that and more coming up on I'm Right. A couple years ago, I had to go in for a physical. You know how you have to go in for an annual physical? And it's just standard. It was nothing special. Just standard blood work, and they're going to test your body mass and the blood pressure and your vision and all these other things. And it was not good. So let me explain. And by the way, this is going to come back to politics and where we're at as a country, Republicans and Democrats, so just stay with me. So prior to that physical, I had just been in a real lazy phase. Eating terribly, just doing, treating my body like an absolute garbage disposal. Fast food again today? Sounds good. Like I was in that mode. Working out? Nah. I'd rather sit here on the couch. And I would been riding that mode out for a solid year. And I go in for that physical, and I remember getting the blood work results. And I remember my doctor being as nice as he possibly could, but basically telling me, my word, what have you been doing to yourself? And I'm looking at these results, and I remember what came over me. And this, I'm not proud of this, all right? But I remember what came over me. My first thoughts were, who can I blame? Isn't that awful? Who can I, I've been stressed out at this. Maybe if you would, this guy could have done this. And it didn't last long. They were wrong. It was 30 seconds, a minute. But I remember immediately, I'm looking at this, and I'm horrified, and I'm thinking, this can't be me. Someone else surely did this, but it was all me. All me. And isn't that, if we're being honest, one of the hardest conversations we ever have to have with ourselves in life? No matter what you are going through, your blood work, your politics, or anything else, isn't the hardest thing in the world to go look directly into a mirror and say, you're the problem? We love politics, you and I. That's why we're sitting here talking on the first. I don't even know that I'd say I love it or that you love it. We understand it's important, so we're passionate about it. That's probably a better way to put it. We're passionate about it. And because we are passionate about it, you watch things, you listen to things, you're browsing things on your phone, you're consuming the news of the day. And inevitably, when you do that, there will be these characters, almost like it's a movie. Characters on the good side, characters on the bad side. And whenever we have a character we dislike, oftentimes it's Democrats now, the communists, whenever we have a character we dislike, we will crush that character, crush them. But you know what, let's go with that analogy too. Let's say it's a TV show and there's somebody you despise on that TV show. Is it the actor or actress's fault? They didn't write any of those lines. They didn't produce it, they didn't direct it. Just a pretty face saying some words. AOC, for instance, this is a great example of what I'm about to talk about. AOC has been lampooned for days now. Why? Well, AOC, not a politician, an actress and a dancer, was recruited by the Justice Democrats to supplant an establishment Democrat. They funded her primary run. She won, she got to Congress, but she didn't know anything. She doesn't know anything about politics. She's an actress. She really is. She's just a performer, if you will. She didn't know anything. She was there to promote communism and just say whatever she's told to say. And as a result, ever since AOC has been to Congress, she's routinely said stupid things. Things that make you and I laugh. We play her sound bites, we listen to them, we watch them, we laugh, we mock her. And that didn't change when she traveled overseas to Munich and sat down and said this.
Would and should the U.S. actually commit U.S. troops to defend Taiwan if China were to move?
I think that this is such a, I think that this is a, this is of course a very long-standing policy of the United States.
Rubio's speech was a pure appeal to Western culture. My favorite part was when he said that American cowboys came from Spain.
I thought they came from Winnetou, but
I believe the Mexicans and descendants of African enslaved peoples would like to have a word on that. You know, we look at what happened in Venezuela, for example. It is not a. It is not a remark on who Maduro was as a leader. He canceled elections. He was an anti-democratic leader. That doesn't mean that we can kidnap a head of state and engage in acts of war just because the nation is below the equator.
I know it's painful to listen to, but let's talk. AOC is in what? She's in the House of what? Representatives. What are those people there to do? What are they? They are representatives. AOC is there to represent the people of her district. AOC was not selected. AOC was not appointed. The people of her district, they go and they vote her into office every single time by a landslide. It's not even close. Every single time. And this is where you may be tempted, because you're a political person, you know these things, you may be tempted to say, well, only a few people in her district even vote. Well, that's just making my point for me. So the people who do vote are communists and morons who vote for a moron, and the ones who choose to sit it out are lazy morons who don't care enough to get involved and replace the moron that represents not just her district, the United States of America on the world stage. Who's the dummy? Tell you what, pause on that for a minute. Let's go to Gretchen Whitmer, because she went over there to Munich as well, got asked some pretty basic questions. She got asked a question about Ukraine. Now, if you were asked this exact same question, you're not the governor of Michigan, neither am I. If you were asked this exact same question, you would have an answer. You would have a solid answer. We may even disagree on the answer. We may disagree about this part or that part, but you would have an answer because you know some things. You're not even a governor. Here's Gretchen Whitmer.
On Ukraine, what does victory look like?
No, please. I'd love to hear your answer.
The two that I am on the panel with are much more steeped in foreign policy than a governor is. But you know, I do think that Ukraine's independence, keeping their landmass and having the support of all the allies, I think is the goal from my vantage point. Go ahead, Ambassador. Do a better job.
What? She's so stupid. Remember how Gretchen Whitmer conducted herself during COVID? Here's a little refresher in case you don't remember.
Any concern that you've gone too far in any way with the stay-at-home restrictions?
No. I know that what we have done, the vast majority of people in Michigan agree with and have done the right thing.
She got reelected after that. Gretchen Whitmer, she blocked off the parts of the stores in Michigan that sold seeds, like gardening seeds. If you wanted to plant some lilies in the garden, you weren't allowed during COVID, and the people of Michigan, after being treated like lab rats, ran to the polls and reelected her. So we can play these videos of Gretchen Whitmer being a moron, and we can laugh, and we can say, ah, ha, ha, but Gretchen Whitmer is elected by the people of Michigan. We get the government we deserve. These actors and actresses on our screen, they don't write these lines. We do. You and me. We do. You see this tranny, McBride? This is a tranny. That's an insane person that thinks they can change their sex by chopping off parts of their body. It's by any measure, any other point in history, that person would be correctly identified as being insane. They would be institutionalized, isolated from society. They would be given professional help. In the United States of America, we elect them to the United States House of Representatives. They then travel overseas and talk about women's rights.
This is an effort to diminish the right of bodily autonomy. If they can undermine that right for trans people, they can undermine it for everyone. And I think we have to understand right now that gender equality is a barometer of democratic stability. And a strong man's greatest asset is scarcity. When there is scarcity in jobs, when there is scarcity of opportunity, they pick boogeymen, or in this case, boogie people, and they blame them. They blame the immigrant. They blame the trans person. But now increasingly what we're seeing is they're not just blaming the immigrant or the trans woman, they're blaming all women. They're saying, you, young man, can't get this job because this unqualified trans person or this unqualified woman has gotten this job.
Boogie people. Everything else aside, aren't you a little embarrassed? I am. I remember when I saw that, I think that was yesterday or the day before when I first saw that video. I did the wince thing. Because I know you didn't cast a vote for that tranny. I didn't cast a vote for that tranny, but to the rest of the world, we did. We elect these people. We can point fingers at all the morons, and scumbags in the House of Representatives, the Senate, and governor's mansions across the United States of America. But the truth is, these people accurately reflect and represent us. Kansas is a state Donald Trump won by 16%. Kansas has a Democrat governor because Republicans in Kansas are too stupid and lazy to get off the couch and go vote in elections. If that sounds harsh, I really don't give a crap. I'm offended. I don't care. It's time to look in the mirror. This is embarrassing. What we have become, what we elect is a reflection of us. And this is not necessarily an indictment of you personally, of course, but that's not how representative republics work. That's not how constitutional republics work. Majorities of people do elect these people. And Lord knows we need to do better. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a great show. We have an opportunity in Texas where we have failed, I have failed time and time again, to possibly replace one of these human barnacles. Sarah Gonzalez is going to join us next to talk about that. Before we talk to Sarah Gonzalez, let's talk about your high interest debt. I was blessed enough to have a father who taught me about debt and interest rates. And I know people fall on hard times, and a lot of people didn't have a father like that. Are you carrying high interest debt? Debt you're paying 20, 30% on? You have a mortgage? You understand American financing is here for someone just like you. Someone who's buried, feels like you're drowning, like you're never going to get out. I can barely cover the interest. Mortgage rates are at a three-year low right now. American financing can do amazing things to claw you out of that hole, but they can't do a thing unless you get a hold of them. Just go to AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse and find out how they can get you out of that hole. You're not drowning. You're a website, a phone call away. 866-891-2821. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Texas Senator John Cornyn. The last year has proven quite a challenge as we've navigated the impact of COVID-19. But with safe and effective vaccines finally being administered, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Getting vaccinated is the fastest way that life can return to normal.
Under the effective leadership of Director Ray, the agency has remained committed to doing things independently and by the book.
Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. I've called this the most important law that most people have never heard of. It's been called the crown jewel of U.S. intelligence.
I can't wait till he's gone. I really hope he's going to be gone. I bet Sarah knows. Joining me now, Sarah Gonzalez, host of the Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered Show. Sarah, please, you know my deep abiding hatred of that human barnacle. Please tell me he's going to be gone.
Jesse, thank you so much for having me. I have it on good authority that it may take a runoff, okay? I can't promise you that in the primary he will be handily defeated, but what I can tell you is it is looking like Senator John Cornyn is going to go down disastrously in a runoff with Ken Paxton, of course, Texas Attorney General. I believe he has the position to overtake John Cornyn. Texans are so tired of that. It's not just you, Jesse. It's all of us. I don't understand how he's been in office for 250 billion years. I don't understand what he thinks that he's doing. If he wanted to save his reputation, if he wanted to save any semblance of a legacy that he may have, he could choose to retire. He could choose to go out with some dignity. Instead, he's going to let this man, Ken Paxton, give him a shellacking. And I got to say, it couldn't happen to a more deserving person, in my opinion.
Why is he getting a good shellacking, if that is what is happening here, Sarah? What did he do so wrong?
Other than everything? I don't know. I mean, he sold us out to Ukraine. He voted for billions of dollars to go to all foreign countries, anywhere but America, apparently. This man is America last. He's been bad on every issue. And by the way, let's not forget, as much as he wants to send out these mailers, you probably have been getting them, Jesse. I get them here in the state of Texas where I live. He's sending out these mailers with him and President Trump. And he's like, John Cornyn has helped President Trump on the border. John Cornyn supports President. John Cornyn votes with President Trump 99% of the time, which is weird because President Trump doesn't actually vote, so I don't even know how he's coming up with that statistic. It's obviously false. He has been against the America First agenda since day one. He has fought President Trump at the border. He said that securing the border was actually a naive policy to have. And so this man is just wrong on every issue. I mean, if you are America First, because he has proven time and time again that he is America last, and I cannot wait to send him into retirement.
Sarah, let's change the subject because I believe we're about to change our senator so we can move on. Now, let's talk about the efforts to turn Texas blue. Now, I've been hearing these threats for a very long time. Texas is going blue. Texas is going blue. And I've never bought into that. The elections don't reflect that. But the communists are most definitely putting this state on their long-term goal list, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they are for sure. They absolutely are. I mean, George Soros has poured millions of dollars into the state of Texas by way of PACs so that they could put all of these efforts and resources into turning Texas blue. And here's the real problem, Jesse. The voter turnout that we are seeing, even with, you know, today is the first day of early voting. And everyone that I'm talking to, I literally just left a meeting. I came and sat here. I walked across the street from where my meeting was. And I came and in our meeting, we were discussing low voter turnout for the Republicans. And so what happens is you have these Republicans and they're in the state of Texas and they think, oh, well, we're rough and tough here in Texas. We could never turn blue. We're red. And unfortunately, if that doesn't translate to going out to the ballot box to vote, we certainly could turn blue. And so I think that it's just a matter of getting active, of participating in these local elections, of not forgetting about it and saying, oh, my neighbor will do my vote for me. I don't have to actually go out. There's no risk. There is a risk because while we may outnumber them, what we know is that they are very, very active. These communists are very good at bringing in, at infiltrating, at bringing in a bunch of little activists to go out and spread their message and bring people over to the ballot boxes. And so I think that turnout is going to be very, very important to making sure that we don't let the commies take Texas. And by the way, making sure that we don't let the Jasmine Crocketts of the world take Texas. That would be very disastrous, obviously, not just for the state, but for the entire country.
Sarah, let's talk about the Islamification of Texas, because there's a lot that you've been all over on this. When people know that the Muslim call to prayer is taking place in Dearborn, Michigan, they're unhappy about it, but they say, oh, okay, Michigan can be a little kooky. When they hear that day may be coming to Texas, they think, oh, it could never happen here. What is happening here?
Yeah, it actually is happening here, Jesse. As I'm sure that you know, unfortunately, here in DFW, in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, we are dealing with a record number of mosques being built. We are dealing with all-inclusive Muslim compounds that currently one of the counties here in the Dallas area is fighting with these investors, with these builders who are trying to figure out how they can build this all-inclusive Muslim enclave. They'll have hospitals. They'll have their Islamic schools. They'll have their mosque. They will never have a reason to leave, essentially creating these no-go zones, which, you know, they want to say like, oh, everyone's welcome. You're welcome to apply. We'll see if you get accepted. But they actually are having to scrub their websites because we are finding that they are only inviting foreigners. And we all know what that means. So it is happening here in Texas. You have certain imams who are on the record calling Texas the Mecca now of Islam because they have seen so goes Texas, so goes the country. And they think if they can get away with it here, they can get away with it anywhere. There's another county here in the state of Texas where they are trying to purchase 2,000 acres. There is a holdings company by the name of C Holdings. It's a Dubai, UAE investor group that they are working on trying to build this land, and then they don't want to answer questions about what it's going to be used for. They are very, very sneaky in the way that they are bringing in, they are infiltrating Islam. You've got Qurans being passed out to high schoolers. They're celebrating World Hijab Day in our high schools here in this area in the state of Texas. If people want to think that it is not happening here, they are blind, and they've got to wake up before it's too late.
Sarah, let's talk about those foreigners, shall we? Because illegal immigration is a hot topic, and I'm glad it is. We have a lot of foreigners we have to get out of the country, but immigration doesn't magically become wonderful just because some politician deems it to be legal. How are we doing on the old H-1B front?
Yeah, Jesse, I wish that I could tell you that illegal immigration is solved and legal immigration is going great. But the fact of the matter is we have a very big problem on our hands with all of this H-1B visa fraud that is taking place. What I can tell you is since the expose that I uncovered, which everyone can find on my YouTube channel, Sarah Gonzalez TX is where that one is located. What we have found is that there is a very, very tangled web of shell companies that are being started by H-1B and H-4 visa holders, which is essentially the spouse. So the H-1B comes in, the spouse creates these shell companies, they bring in all their buddies, and there isn't actually, you know, either there isn't real work that's actually happening, or they are scamming the people who they're bringing in and siphoning off of the top of their pay just to pad themselves. So there's a lot of fraud happening. I have a meeting actually with USCIS on Friday that I'm trying to find some answers on. But the question that I have for them is, who is rubber stamping all of these visas? How are these people being able to come in? My basic levels of digging, I can see these are fake websites. There are fake phone numbers. They are not actually companies that exist. The lights are on, but nobody's home when you knock, knock, knock on their doors at their offices. There's no work actually being done. Where are the workers, and why is USCIS not on top of this? I hope to find out the answers to those questions, but it's a really, really big problem because they are coming in. They are going to outnumber us and outpopulate us, and they don't have the same values that we have, Jesse.
Do you get the sense the Trump administration is on this, wants to be on this? Are they totally negligent here?
Yeah, you know, I wish that I could tell you. I think that they are nervous about the issue. I think they're nervous about the topic. I mean, we did see the Trump administration, to their credit, they came out with this $100,000 visa fee for the H-1Bs. Unfortunately, I saw a study from Harvard, and Harvard of all places, it's not like they're like a right-wing bastion. And they did a study that said that even with the $100,000 fee that these companies will have to spend to sponsor these visas, it will be made up in a matter of 3 to 4 years because they are paying these people a lower wage. They're not actually, you know, the Department of Labor have not kept up with these wages. So it's not actually, even though it's supposed to be a competitive American wage and that's how they're getting around it, it isn't. And so the employers know this. They're still exploiting the system. And according to Harvard, this $100,000 fee is not actually going to do much to curb all of this legal, unfortunate immigration that's happening. So the Trump administration really needs to do something to be on top of this. I think that what they've done is minor. I think they're a little bit nervous to wade fully into the issue, but unfortunately, the American people demand it at this point.
Sarah, appreciate you. Come back. All right. DEI. It's gone, right? They've given up their DEI ways. Not so much. We'll talk to Adam about it in a moment. Before we talk to Adam, let me talk to you about how you feel 2-3 in the afternoon. Are you just cashed? Totally out of gas? Staring up at the clock? Just a little while longer? Shouldn't feel that way. Well, I'm getting older. No, I understand. We're all getting older. None of us are getting younger. But that doesn't mean your energy levels have to plummet. Your focus has to plummet. What's going to hit you really hard when you start taking natural herbal supplements from Chalk, like a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack? What's going to hit you is almost, I've described it many times before, as a fog that lifts. You ever been in a fog and it just starts to lift? You're about to feel it. And it's natural. Not needles in your friggin' arm and weird prescriptions and creams. Natural. Go to chalk.com/JesseTV and just try it. Just try it. 60 days, 90 days. You're about to feel amazing. Get a subscription. Save a fortune. We'll be back. Communists don't change their thinking because they're religious. They have to change their language from time to time. They have to move some things around when you catch on to what they're doing. But the revolution still has to continue in the mind of the communists. DEI was real hot for them for a long time. Then the public caught on to what it meant, and Trump won an election, and now they've had to change tactics. I want to give all the credit in the world. They're doing such great work. Accuracy in Media. This is all their work. This is not my work. All their work. Although this is the first time you're going to have seen it, take a look at the work they've been doing on college campuses, finding out what these people are saying when you're not watching.
I'm Adam Gillett, Accuracy in Media. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. We received a report that you were talking about how the DEI law in your university hasn't affected you at all, and how you're continuing to do the same things, essentially with different wording. Is that true?
I'm walking away from you.
One thing I could say about Kent State University and our TGI programs, and we're very connected at the state level, so I know all the stuff that's going on at the state level, was like they're all about diversity, equity, and inclusion.
You told our investigator that it's all about keeping the white man in power and the white man wants to take over education. Is that true?
No.
Well, is this you in the video right here saying that?
I will say this. It's not being forced through a Trumpian lens. It's taking away the buzzwords and having to be more careful of how you're talking about equity and inclusion. And
why is it such a bad thing? Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's
just some weird.
Ultimately, it's just to keep white men in power.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what it's all about, right? Yeah. And if we dumb down education, then we can continue to do that. That's what the ultimate goal is. And I will say, and Kathy knows this because she's not only my colleague, but a good friend of mine, like how much I struggled after November of last year.
Yeah.
And like I said, why are we here? I wanted to take off. But then at the same time, like, you know, and Julie said the same thing of, if we all leave, then who's going to be doing, you know, the fight?
They can't leave. There's a revolution to fight. Joining me now, a man who deserves, like I said, about 1,000% credit for that kind of work, Adam Gillett, president of Accuracy in Media. Adam, they really are just communists using different names, different language, but they don't change.
That's exactly it. And I love how you pointed out that she wants to continue the fight. These are people who want the principles of anti-capitalism and anti-racism embedded in every facet of education. You know, they don't view higher education as an opportunity for people to learn, for people to challenge their beliefs. They view it as political activism. I think the stat is that in the past decade or so, they've created roughly 20 new administrative positions at universities for every one new faculty position. And nearly all of these administrative positions are for taxpayer-funded activists like that woman.
Adam, that's Kent State University, but you do this for a living. How widespread is it? Is this one university a state? Is there three universities nationally doing this? Is it all of them? How common do you think this is?
Well, I'll tell you, the batting average for our investigators when they hit all of these universities are Hall of Fame numbers. And, you know, as you know, we only go to red state universities. We're not going to Berkeley or going to Boulder. We're going to universities in Iowa, Alabama, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee. And we see this pretty much everywhere we go. The question isn't whether or not we're going to capture content at a university when we visit, but rather how many people in how many departments will we capture bragging about lying or circumventing the state law. And it's usually multiple at every single university. You know, I also volunteer and train some of these center-right activists at universities across the country. I've trained students in 48 states, two Canadian provinces, Mexico City. And everywhere I show up, the students always say the same thing. You can't imagine how bad it is here. It's like that everywhere. People want to assume that the university they went to is the good one. I've been there recently, and it's probably not.
As much as it physically pains me as a born and bred Ohio State fan, you have one from Ohio State. Here it is.
So there's still stuff going on. Just more quiet.
My son would still learn DEI and as part of his curriculum in intersectionality.
Yes, because of the law, we had to change signs and centers. They changed them to common. And so the whites are there, too, you know, not just the underrepresented, they brought the people with the privilege there, yeah, too. Yeah.
That's not you in the video?
No, that must be AI. I'm sorry.
That's AI?
It's gotta be, that's not me saying that.
Sure.
It wasn't AI, was it, Adam?
It certainly was not AI. That's the first time somebody's actually said that to my face. I honestly couldn't believe it, how stunned I was when she said, that's not me, that must be AI. And the bad news I have for you is we have several more videos coming from Ohio State. Oh. You know, we see this in department after department after department. I think a really good get-rich-quick scheme in 2026 is to get in the business card business, because all these people did was simply change their titles, sometimes multiple times within a year, and continue doing the exact same work. Sometimes they change their department name as well, so maybe if you get in the nameplate business, that might be a good lucrative opportunity, but they're simply changing the titles and doing the same work, and these aren't merely our accusations. This is what they tell us at university after university.
Adam, after these things come out, does anything happen? We're used to them scrambling. Someone gets suspended, usually with pay, for a couple weeks where they nance off to Barbados or something like that. But are there any, have any of these people, to your knowledge, suffered actual consequences from these things?
You know, it's interesting how the response differs by state. For example, in North Carolina, where we've released, I think, 7 or 8 videos, about a half a dozen administrators lost their jobs. You know, these are entry-level folks. One of them was the dean of students at UNC Asheville, was terminated after appearing in one of our videos. We were jokingly calling our investigator the angel of unemployment because everywhere she went, these lawbreakers lost their jobs. However, in other states, it seems like the elected officials are breaking their necks and to crane and look the other way. Sometimes I wonder, in some of these states, if these elected officials passed these DEI bans to actually solve a problem or to win a Republican primary and to placate to their voters. Because when we show in Alabama and other states that their law is being ignored, that their law is being broken, we hear crickets from many state reps. Now, that wasn't the case in Kentucky. A lot of elected officials got involved there. The attorney general in Kentucky got involved. The attorney general in Iowa got involved. But in some of these states, the elected officials pretend as if it never happened, because acknowledging that they haven't solved the problem would suggest that they have more work to do. And it's much easier to just say we haven't solved, or that we've solved the problem, we're all set here, we're fine, and we don't have to worry about it anymore, as opposed to actually doing the work.
Adam, keep doing the work, my man. Appreciate you. Come back soon. All right. California. I'm seeing these poll numbers, not just one, that show Republicans leading in the gubernatorial race? That can't be right. I want to tell you right now it's not right. But we'll ask John Phillips. He knows all things California. We'll ask him about it in a moment. Now let me ask you about something. How much do you pay a month for your cell phone service? There are a million reasons to switch to Pure Talk. They hire Americans. When you call them, you'll speak to an American who speaks English. They have a Vietnam veteran, two tours, who runs the company. There are a million reasons to switch to Pure Talk, but maybe you're just a money guy or a money girl. When I switched from T-Mobile, we have four lines, my bill got cut in half. Sound like a good reason to switch? Go to puretalk.com/jessetv and switch. It's time to make the switch. Save some cash. Average family saves $1,000 a year. We'll be back.
He has turned over the keys to his social media accounts to very young, very left-wing people who have been told to rattle the cage and say whatever to generate engagement. Well, we know people like this in our own lives. We see them on social media themselves. They're reckless. It's only a matter of time before Gavin Newsom tweets something like, well, you know, the Jews were really responsible for the Holocaust, or something along those lines, and then it's all over. So it's fun for him now, but guess what? There's a reason why you don't turn over your social media accounts to teenagers craving attention.
Well, as he pretty much always is, John Phillips called that one. Joining me now, host of the wonderful John Phillips Show, my friend John Phillips. Okay, John, you called it. Obviously, they continue to embarrass themselves. We can talk about the Ted Cruz thing if you want. I guess a big question I have is, for somebody as calculating as Gavin Newsom, he's a very calculating individual, obviously, why would you turn over the keys to a bunch of teenage nutball commie monsters?
Well, they showed their hand of cards recently on the subject when, I think it was the New Yorker, was doing a profile on Gavin Newsom and his strategy. And one of his aides said, look, if we go on with Jake Tapper on CNN and he has a really good hit, who's he talking to? 50,000 people in California? That's about it. But if you have a tweet that goes viral and people are talking about it on Fox and Newsmax and talk radio and The First and all of these other places, they get so much mileage out of it. And they seem to really be buying into the philosophy of there's no bad publicity. And if you can generate outrage on the other side, then that lifts you up in the Democratic primary. And it makes you look like you are the adversary to Donald Trump that the right is worried about the most. And he thinks that will get him the most mileage possible in that primary.
Do you think they're wrong? Because I'll be honest with you, John, not even about specifically Gavin Newsom. I'm sure you've noticed as well. I see so many morons and bottom of the barrel loser dorks getting huge branding by saying and doing stupid things daily, which prompts a million people to outrage against them, which only increases their... It appears to be a solid strategy if you're not worried about your reputation. It appears to work for some.
It's working for him, at least in the short term. The problem for him is going to be, is it going to work in the long term? Because Donald Trump is not going to be the Republican nominee. The Republican nominee is going to be someone else. So do you look relevant if all of the attention that you generate is about the last guy and not the new guy? And the other thing I would worry about in the long term if I were him is this. Usually what happens is when we elect a president that fixes the deficiencies of the last guy. Where you had Ronald Reagan, people thought he was okay, he's a good president, but he's too far to the right, so let's shift to the middle. So you get George H.W. Bush, and okay, that guy's a rich guy from Connecticut, so let's go ahead and bring someone more down to earth in, like Bill Clinton. And then you go, okay, that guy has no morals, so let's go to a church-going guy like W, and so on and so forth. If you are the Democratic Party and they claim that they hate the mean tweet so much and they have vulgarity and all of the things about Donald Trump we know they complain about on a regular basis, are you going to want to elect your own Donald Trump or a guy who's at least trying to present himself that way? I'm not so sure that's the long-term successful strategy. In the short term, I think you're right, though. I think he is getting that sugar high.
Let's talk about presidential politics. Every single poll I see shows Doam in the lead. Nancy Pelosi is stepping down, of course, but we all know a woman like that is never going to step completely out of the political arena. Which horse is she backing? Is she backing anyone? What's she doing? How's this going?
Well, she doesn't like Kamala, and she hasn't liked Kamala for a long time. She never wanted Kamala to be the Democratic nominee the last time. What she wanted was an open convention, and the way that Joe Biden got back at Nancy Pelosi after she pushed him out of the race was to immediately endorse Kamala and take away that option from the Democratic Party. So Nancy Pelosi wants no part of Kamala, or wanted no part of her the last time. She certainly doesn't want any part of her this time. Gavin Newsom is the candidate that Nancy Pelosi wants. Nancy Pelosi often says that she has known Gavin Newsom since before he was born, because a member of her husband's family married into the Newsoms, and they've been not very, very close, but they've been in each other's orbit for quite some time in San Francisco politics. Her daughter is running for the state Senate right now in California. So California politics is something that that family is closely paying attention to right now. She would certainly stand to benefit if Gavin Newsom were to be elected president. She's someone who's been very close to him politically in the past. Certainly they worked together very closely on Proposition 50, which is what gerrymandered our congressional district lines. And who knows? I mean, she's retiring from Congress, but maybe she wants to be an ambassador somewhere. Maybe she wants to do something else. I don't know. She's certainly closer to Gavin Newsom than she is to any of the other candidates.
John, California policy is a disaster. I don't have to tell you, but California policy is a disaster. There is a way of thinking, at least on the right, that the disaster of California policy is going to hurt Gavin Newsom. I don't know that I buy into that, because in my history of paying attention to presidential politics, I don't know that I've seen a lot of that translate. You're a governor, there was a bad policy in your state, and so now you can't be president. Who's wrong?
Under normal circumstances, I think you're right. However, don't forget, in 2028, when the presidential election is going to go on, that's also the Olympics. So the entire eyes of the world will be on California. We are not ready to host the Olympics. We're not even close to being ready to host the Olympics. Our police department is not adequately funded or staffed. Same thing with the fire department, as we've seen with the fires in Pacific Palisades. Our public transit is a mess. The city is dirty. There is trash everywhere in Los Angeles. There is graffiti everywhere. They seem to have zero interest in cleaning it up. Many neighborhoods are flat out in the dark because the crackheads steal the copper wire from the street lamps. And when they steal the copper wire, it knocks out the internet in the neighborhood and it knocks out the power. And the city has just decided that they're not going to fix it, because if they fix it, the crackheads will just come take it again. So there are entire neighborhoods that are just with no streetlights and no internet, and that's just the way it is. And the moment that these reporters start coming here and these dignitaries, it's going to be all over the news. That is going to be the story for Los Angeles. And I don't know, if you're the governor of California, how you escape that. You can't put lipstick on that pig. There's no way to say, oh yeah, everything's fine here. There's no homeless, there's no crime. All of our streetlights are working. It's easy to get from one side of town to the other. It is demonstrably untrue to make that claim. And you can hide it, I guess, if no one's paying attention. But if people are paying attention, there's no way you can paper over it. I think we also have the World Cup and other things coming here too. So the stars are not aligning in terms of California hosting all of these big events that are going to contradict that everything Gavin Newsom's going to say.
Are you guys going to have a Republican governor?
We might. We have a screwy top two primary, and right now the two Republicans are polling in first and second. The question is there a Democratic candidate that the Democratic Party is going to get behind? Now, so far they haven't. We've seen some recent movement towards Eric Swalwell, where Adam Schiff, the U.S. Senator from California, just endorsed him. The rumor is that Nancy Pelosi is going to get behind him. But is that the guy you really want to put your chips behind, this flake? this guy who has essentially used his campaign reelection fund as a way to gallivant around the world and fly first class and stay in the finest hotels. And he's also just not that bright. I mean, not only did this guy sleep with a Chinese spy, I'm convinced that if he had an opportunity to have a three-way with the Chinese spy, Tokyo Rose, and Kim Jong-un in a dress, he would have done that too. If you're the Democratic Party, is that the guy that you're going to clear the field for? I don't see that happening.
Old Eric Swalwell. John, see you soon. All right. Lighten the mood. Next. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And I did very, very, very much enjoy Hillary Clinton going over there to Munich. And she tried to do the thing she does in America. You know, she's only got one program. Trump, 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 all this Trump, Trump, Trump stuff. Well, to people who don't realize how crazy American Democrats are, that can be a bit of a laughing matter, like this Czech politician.
We saw the cancel culture. That's we saw the woke revolution. I don't agree with the gender revolution, the climate alarmism.
Which gender? Women having their rights? Peter, go on.
I think there are two genders. So, but some of us think that there is more than one or more than two. Sorry, more than two gender. I think there is male and female, and the rest probably is a social construct. So this is something that went too far.
But does that justify selling out the people of Ukraine who are on the front lines dying to save their freedom and their two genders? Okay. If that's what you're worried about?
Can I please finish my points? I'm sorry that it makes you nervous. I'm really sorry for that.
It makes me nervous. It makes me
I'll see you tomorrow.